The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Although it's Parashas Lech Lecho this week, I would like to take the liberty to dwell on one of the subjects in Parshas Neach, because it's a very important subject, and also we did not have the opportunity to say a shir on Parshas Neach this year, or perhaps for a few years. And the subject is what is known as the Dor HaFloger, the generation which was divided, which was scattered, or the Migdal Bovil, the Tower of Bovil, Tower of Babylonia, which is a very, what is known as a Parshas Tumah. There's not much explanation in the Torah itself as to what actually went on, which makes it a very, very mysterious and fascinating parsha as to actually what took place. So let's see if we can gain some insight into it this evening. We'll start from a little further back in Parshas Neach and Perek Yud. It states, "Ve'elu told us b'nei Neach shem chom v'yofes." And these generations of the b'nei Neach, of the sons of Neach, shem chom v'yofes, Shem, Chom, and Yofes. We're speaking here after the flood. Neach was saved together with his family, and he had three sons. And these three sons gave birth to further sons after the flood. And then the Torah starts to relate who were the generations that came from all of these children. Now, I want to go to Posuk Vov, B'nei Chom, the children of Chom, one of the sons of Neach, was Cush u'Mitzrayim u'Fut u'Kenan. Cush, Mitzrayim, Fut, and Kenan. Then it starts to tell us who were the children of Cush. And in Pasuk Ches it states, v'Cush yolad es Nimrod. Cush gave birth to Nimrod. So Nimrod, this is the individual that we're particularly interested in this evening, was a grandson of Neach, who was born to Neach through his son Chom. And after the flood, Hu Heichal Yeis Gibor Ba'oretz, he started to become a Gibor Ba'oretz, a strong man of the earth. Rashi explains to us, Lahamrid kol eilam ala kodesh borchu, to cause the whole world to rebel against the Almighty. Atzes dor haflogo, when he gave the Eitzo, he was the one who gave the Eitzo, the counsel for the dor haflogo, for the generation that was to be divided. Actually, Rashi brings in Masechta Chulin, Rashi brings on Daf Pei Tes that this is why he was called Nimrod. His name, Hashem Meir Al Etzim. Many times we find that names that people choose for their children, especially in the early generations where each individual played such an important role, that it actually was an insight into his character. And Nimrod comes from the word Merad, to rebel. So he was the leader, and Hechel means to begin. He was the leader and from the first one to begin to rebel against the Almighty, where he led the people in a rebellion. Hu hayo gibor tzai lifnei Hashem, and he was gibor tzai lifnei Hashem. He was the great hunter before Hashem. Rashi brings tzod daiten shel brias befiv umatim limrei b'mokum. He was a good talker. So through his speech and through his talk, he convinced people to come and to rebel against the Almighty. Al kein ye omar ki nimrei gibor tzai lifnei Hashem. Al kein ye omar ki nimrei gibor tzai lifnei Hashem. Therefore, it is with one when a person would be a rebellious person against the Almighty, he was called Nimrod. They would refer to him as another Nimrod. Rashi says, Miskaven lahanitay alponov, he with intention would bring anger to the Almighty, and call od the Mashiach ba'asos ponim yedea ribeine miskaven limrei b'yema zekinim regibotzayit. A person who knew of the Almighty and would rebel against him, they would say he was like another Nimrod. So, after the flood, there was Noach and his three sons, Shem, Chom, v'Yefes. One son was Chom. Chom had a number of children, and one of those children were Cush. And Cush gave birth to Nimrod. It actually was a great grandson of Noach. And Nimrod was the one who started the rebellion against the Almighty and caused the entire world to rebel in the Dor HaFloga, the generation that was split. Now, if we go a little further, and this is in Perek Yud Aleph. Perek Yud Aleph, Vayihi Cholo Oret Sofer Echos. The entire world was in one language after the flood. What does it mean, one language? Rashi brings Loshon HaKodesh. The entire world spoke Loshon HaKodesh, Hebrew. The Torah Tumimah brings a Yishalmi, Masechta Megillah, which states Reb Lezev Reb Yechanan Charom Ashoyim Medabrim Bishim Loshon VeCharom Ashoyim Medabrim Loshon Yechidu Shaloylam BeLoshon HaKodesh. But actually, there's a dispute in this. According to one opinion, it was Loshon HaKodesh. To the other, according to the other opinion, it was all 70 languages. See, the Torah before told us that Noach, through his three sons, gave birth to 70. And each of the 70 gave birth, was a founder of a nation, gave birth to a nation, which became the basic 70 nations of the world. And each one later was to be, or each one, we would assume later, was given a language. So it would be 70, the 70 languages. Before then, the world spoke Loshon HaKodesh, Hebrew, because that was the language that the world was created in. So when it states that the whole world spoke one language, according to one opinion, it was Hebrew, Loshon HaKodesh. But according to the other opinion, the 70 languages were given before they were split up. But each one knew all 70 languages. So therefore, Sofer Echos, they were all of one common language. Doesn't mean one language, but a common language. Udvorim Achodim. Besides the common language, Dvorim Achodim, they spoke singular words. What does this mean? So Rashi brings Bow Be'itzachas. They all came with one counsel, with one ideology, one idea. Be'omru, Lo kol himenesh yivor leas el yoinim, nalel rakiv anasi me mechoma. It's not right that the Elyonim shall rule. In the world you have the Tachtonim and the Elyonim. The Tachtonim is the lower world. That's the world that we live on. And then there's the Elyonim, the upper worlds. Those are the worlds of the angels or whatever might be up there. And they said it's not right that the Elyonim, the upper creatures, should rule the world. We should go up there and we will make war against them. That's one explanation, Dvorim Achodim. They came with a singular idea. Dover Acher, another interpretation, Rashi says, Al Yechidu Shaloylam. They came with a singular idea against the single one in the world. Who is the single one in the world? This is the Almighty. Dover Acher, another explanation, Dvorim Achodim, Omru Achas Le'elef V'tof Reish Nunvov. They said that once every 1656 years, Harakir Mismaitet, then the heavens start to disintegrate and a flood will come, because this was after the great flood, and the great flood took place in that year, from in that many years after the creation of the world. So they held that evidently this was a decree in the creation that the Almighty made, that this should happen during that period of time, every cycle, every 1656 years. So Kishem Shosu b'me'amabel, bold v'nasa le'shmuchais. Therefore, we will go up to the heavens and we will do something. We will make supports or do something which will prevent the heavens from disintegrating again.
And from another flood coming. From these three interpretations that Rashi brings, there's one thing in common amongst all three, is that they came to fight with the Almighty.
And that's why it states, Achodim, that not only were they Sofer Echos of a common language, but Vorim Achodim of a common idea also. And the common idea was to fight or to rebel against the Almighty. This is what is the common denominator in all of the explanations which Rashi brings. And to rebel against the decrees which the Almighty has imbued in the creation. All right. Now, further, the Torah tells us, by he binosum ikedem. Now they all had this common strategy, so they all journeyed to the east. What did they go there for? So the Chazal tell us they wanted to find a place which was big enough to hold them all, so they could all gather together and meet. So they went to the east, Vayimtzu Viko, and they found the great valley, Beres Shinor, in the land of Shinor. Shinor is what later on will be called Bovel, Babylon, which the Gemara tells us is a very, very low land. It's a great valley. Today it's in the area of Iraq. Vayeshvu Shom, and there they sat. The Torah Tamima on Vayeshvu Shom brings an interesting sifri from Parshas Ekev. Tanya anche dora floga le modu elemitek sfio. The generation which was to be split, they rebelled only because of sphere, because of excess, because of such satisfaction. Shenemar Vayeshvu Shom, as it states, they sat there. And whenever the Torah refers to sat, that means someone who dwells lacking nothing, total peace. Ains yeshiva zuel achila v'shtia. This means they had a great deal to eat and they had a great deal to drink in Meshikosov, like it states in Parshas Kisisa, v'yeshavom lechol v'shosav v'yekum v'letzachik. And there the Sifri brings a parallel where we see v'yeshvu, when the Torah says sit, means someone who sits lacking nothing. That's a description, a manucha, of total peace of mind. Because they were saved from the flood, it was after the flood, and things had started to grow and sprout, and they had plenty to eat and they had plenty to drink. There was no tzoras, and there was no milchoma, there was no war. Here we had a world which was united. It possibly was, perhaps the only time, very unique time, when there was a total world peace. Because they're all together. So, it's le modu elamitek sfia. Because of such great excesses, that they had everything, this is what caused them to rebel. The Torah continues. Vayemru ish al rehu. One man said to another. Rashi explains it doesn't mean one man, but it means one nation. One nation said to another, Hova nilbono levenim. Let us go make bricks, benisrafo lesrefa, and we will burn the mortar and the clay in order to make the bricks. Vati lohem alveino lo leoven, v'hachemor hoyo lehem lachemer. We will go and make building bricks, building material.
By Emru, and they said, Hova nivnal lono ir umigdal bereshe vashomayim. Let us all go, and we will build for ourselves a city and a tower. Bereshe vashomayim, and the head of the tower will go into the heavens. Benasa lono shem, and we will make for ourselves a great name. Penofutz al pnei kol ha'oretz. And this will be prevent anyone from scattering us throughout the land. The Gemara says on this. Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin and of Kuf Tes. Omer Rabbi Yibiyo Rabbi Blazer. When they said, Hova, let us go, Nivne lono iro migdu, Vereshe bashomai, Vinasa lono shem, let us go build a city and a tower, and the head of the tower will be in the heavens, and we will make for ourselves a great name. What did they want? Omer Rabbi Yibiyo Rabbi Blazer, Nechleko legimel kites. They were divided here into three groups. One said, we will make a city and a tower, and we will go up there and we will sit there. They only wanted to sit there. Another group said, we will go up there and we will make war. And the third group said that we will go up there and we will serve idolatry. These were the three groups. Where does the Gemara learn this from? The Gemara learns it as follows. The group that said, this that they said, let us build a city and a tower, that referred to those who wanted to build the city and tower, and we will go there. We will go and we will live in that city. That city will be like the capital of the world. Here we must bear in mind constantly, we're not speaking of a single nation, but we're speaking of the entire world molded into one nation. So we will build a great capital city, and this will be our bira. This will be the city of our king, and the tower of our king, and it will represent us. We will dwell there. The second group that said Bereshe Vashomayim, that the tower will be in the heavens, they wanted more. We will actually go up into the heavens. We will make milchoma. We will go up into the heavens in order where we can do something there against heavenly decrees, against the Almighty. So we will make war. Benasalon of shame, and we will make for ourselves a name. So this, the Gemara says, refers to Avodah Zarah, idolatry. We will serve idolatry there. So these were the three different groups. Then the Gemara says further, Tanya Reb Noson Aymer, Kulam L'Shem HaVeidus Chob Niskabnim. Reb Noson said, though, that they all had in mind for idolatry. As it states here, Nasa lonu shem, uksiv osem v'shem aleim acherim leisaskiru, malahalan HaVeidus Kechovim, avkan HaVeidus Kechovim. We find here they said that we will make for ourselves a name, and in other places we find leisaskiru shem aleihim acherim, that where the word name is used, it refers to idolatry. So from here we can infer that they all had intentions for idolatry. What is the Gemara coming to tell us here? The Gemara is saying that if you say they were divided into three groups, then no longer was it Dvorim Achodim. We're saying that they came with a single common strategy. So therefore, Ibnossin is saying, no, the underlying motive was the same. That was for idolatry. In other words, to free themselves from the Almighty. But there are different dimensions of idolatry. And each one had a different idea as to which dimension, how far to go. So with Dvorim Achodim, it was a singular strategy, but it was going into three directions. So therefore, still, Kulam Niskabna Ledover Echod, they all had one common strategy. Then the Torah continues further. It states, Bayered Hashem, Lirei Sesoir Vesamigdul. Hashem came down to see the city and the tower, Asher Bonu Bnei Odom, of which the sons of man were building. Vayemer Hashem heinam echod v'sofa achas lechulam. And Hashem said, because they're one nation, because they're one language, a common language, in the entire world, ze hachilim la'afish, this is what has caused them and given them strength and given them the motive to do this. And what is to prevent them from achieving what they want to do? Now Rashi says like this. Hashem came down to see what's happening, to see what Bnei Odom, the children of man, are building. So he brings the Chazal, which states, El b'nei mi, shem b'nei chamorim u'gmalim. What does it mean, the sons of man? And who else should they be the sons of? Are they the sons of donkeys or the sons of camels? El b'nei odom harisha in shekof es hateva. He said, this is similar to the children of the odom harishan, of the first man. They are similar to, because the children of the first, because the first man was Kofa Betova, he was a person who did not show gratitude. The Omar Isha Shenosati Modi, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu made woman and he gave her to man, and later on man sinned. So when the Almighty asked him, why did you sin? So he said, it wasn't my fault, it was your fault. You gave me this woman and she caused me to sin. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't happy with that, because woman was a great gift to man. And here he said, you shouldn't have given me woman. So he said, you were kofa b'tayva. You are a person without gratitude. This was an insight into the character of Odom. So here HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let me go down. He said to his bezdin, to his court, let us go down to see what Bnei Odom are doing, because I see a similarity between these people and between Odom Arishon, because they also are kofa b'tayva, they also are ingratitude. Because af elu kofa b'tayva limrei b'mi shehishpiyam teva umaltu min hamabl. This is referring now to the Sifri which we brought before, that the Sifri says what has caused them to sin, because of excess, because they had everything vayeshfu. They dwelled without lacking anything. This caused them to rebel. See, here HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, here I saved you from the flood, and I gave you a world again, and I gave you plenty to eat and plenty to drink. And not only that, but heinam echot kol tuva yizu yeshi boen sham echot he usofe achas lekulam. One of the greatest curses in the world that we know is because nations are divided. The whole history of the nations of the world is war. If you'll study history, you'll find history is war. Fact is, the Chazal always refer to the secular history as they refer to as the Umais u'milchameseh, the nations and their wars. This is history. And this is what brings, which ravages the world. So Kodesh Baruch Hu said, here I made you into one nation, and I made you into one language. You have peace. The world has never known what does it mean, world peace. Here you had world peace. What did you lack? You lacked nothing. Kol tuvazu yeshimayan sham echad heim v'sof echas l'chulam. And because of this, this is what you have used it now to rebel against me. So therefore, he says, he told his court, we better do something before they come and they destroy a world. The Torah continues. Let us go down and we will completely mix up and confuse their language. That one man will not understand the tongue of the other man, and this will prevent them from building what they want to. Rashi brings one Zeh Shel Levonav, Zeh Mevitit, Zeh Emer Alav Peitzeis Meichai. One person, when they were building, so one said, bring me bricks, and he would bring him mortar, and he would get angry and take a shovel and hit him over the head, and before you know it, there was all types of quibbling. Vayofet Hashem Eisam Yishom Al Penei Chol Oretz, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu scattered them from there over the entire world. Vayachtelu Livna Yisoir, and this stopped. They stopped building the city. Al Kein Korosh Mo Bovel, and therefore this land Shinor was called Bovel. Kishom Bolal Hashem Sfas Kol Ores. Bovel comes from the word to mix. There HaKadosh Baruch Hu mixed up the languages of the entire world. Umishom Hafitzam Hashem Al Penei Kol Oretz, and from there Hashem scattered them over the entire world. The Gemara on this last posuk, where it states Kishom Bola Hashem Sfas Kol Oretz, Umisham Hefitzam Hashem Al Penei Kol Oretz. But it says, what happened to the three kitos, to the three groups? So it says as follows. Zu Sha'emeres Na'alev Neishav Shom. The group that said, let us build this city and tower so we will go and live there. And we will stay there. Hefitzam Hashem. And that the pasuk refers to Misham Hefitzam Hashem Al Penei Kol Oretz. Kodesh Baruch Hu took that group and scattered them throughout the entire world. Zu Sheimeres Na'alev Nasi Umachoma. The group that said, let us go and we will make war. What became of them? Nasu Kupim Veruchais Shedim Velelin. They became Kupais. Kodesh Baruch Hu took them and he transformed them into very strange creatures. He made them into kupim. Kupim are monkeys and apes. Here we see the opposite of the theory of evolution. That he took the men and he made them into monkeys and apes. Veruchais. He made them into ruchais. Rashi explains, what are ruchais? First, shading. Rashi is going to shade him first. He made them into devils. What are devils, Rashi says, which are called shadim, a shade? That's something, a creature that looks like a man and he eats and drinks like a man. But he's not a man, he's a devil. Ruchais, he made them into ruchais. Ruchais means spirits. That's also some type of creature, but he doesn't have a physical body. And lilin. What are lilin? Tsuras odom. It's a creature that looks like a man, Elishieshlem Knothim, but it has wings. So he made them, he made from the second group that came to make war in the heavens, he made them into all types of strange creatures, into monkeys and into devils and into spirits and into these lilin. Lilin, that's a tzur of a man, of a shape of a man, but he has wings. And the third group that said that we will go and we will serve idolatry. Kishom Bola Hashem Shfas Kol Oretz. And that group, he took their languages and totally mixed them up so one could not understand the other.
Then Rashi tells us where it says Umishon Hefitzum, that they were scattered throughout the entire world. We see they were not destroyed though. They lived, all of these people. They might have lived long lives, except those that were changed, transformed into the strange creatures. But they lived, except they were scattered through the entire world. So Rashi asks a question. They lived in this world. The Mishnah in Masechet Sanhedrin tells us, though, that Dor Hafloga Ein Lam Chelek Leilam Abo. They do not have a chelek in the world to come. They lost that portion. But in this world they lived. In the previous generations, the Dor HaMabul, the generation of the flood, there we see also they lost their portion in the world to come. The Mishnah also states, Dor HaMabul Ein Lam Chelek Leilam Abo. But not only that, but they lost their portion in this world also. It states for Kol HaOretz, the entire world was destroyed. So Rashi wants to know, what is the difference? Lomad she'ein lam chelek leilam abo. V'chi eise kosher shel dor hamabel or shel dor haflogo? Whose sin was greater? Eile leposhtu yad b'ikah ve'ele poshtu yad b'ikah li'lochim b'ay. We would say that the generation that was divided, that became divided, their sin was greater, because they went to fight against the Almighty. They came to revolt against the Almighty. While the Dor HaMabul, the generation of the flood, didn't revolt against the Almighty. They revolted against each other. It states, "Vatimolei ha'aretz chomos." The world was full of theft and of extortion, of sins against one man and another. So whose sin was greater? We should say the sins of this generation. Yet we see Elu Nishtafu Ve'elu Leina Ne'avdu Min Ha'ilam. But we see that the generation of the flood was destroyed not only from the next world but from this world also, while here this generation was not destroyed from this world. So Rashi brings from the Medrash El Shador HaMabul Hoyu Gazlonim Ve'yisa Meriva B'neihem. Generation of the flood who were thieves and they fought with each other, therefore they were lost both from this world and the next world. And these, even though they were very wicked and they came to revolt against the Almighty, but still there was love and peace between them. They were united, as it states, therefore even though they were lost from the next world, they were still given this world. L'marito, on this the Medrash tells us, L'marito shesonu yamachlekes v'godl hasholom, that you see from here how great is peace and how hated is machlekes is dissension, division. The generation of the flood was, they were divided from each other, therefore they were destroyed from the face of the earth, while this generation, with all of their sins against the Almighty, they were united between themselves, between people. There was brotherhood amongst them. And therefore, they were not destroyed from the face of the world. Then the Gemara continues in Sanhedrin. Gemara tells us, Amar Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan said, Migdol, this tower, Shlish Nisraf, what happened to it? One third was consumed in fire. Shlish Nivla, that was the top third. One third sunk into the ground. That was the bottom third. Shlish Kayim, the middle third, is still there. Omar Av, incidentally, it's still there. If you go to a certain place in Iraq, they have, there's an old structure, and they say, in tradition, the people there say that's the Tower of Babylon, and they actually call it, I once read, they call it, it's a name similar to Bursif, and that's what the Gemara brings. Omar Av, Avir, Migdol Mishkach. Rav says that if you come into the area where the tower is, it is an atmosphere that will cause one to forget. He will forget, it causes him to forget his Torah.
Amar Rav Yosef Bavel uBurshif. It was called Burshif, similar to Torah, and it's not a good sign for Torah. What does Burshif mean? It's Borsh Afi. It's like a pit that was emptied from its water. So the same thing, this whole area HaKadosh Baruch Hu made into a tremendous void. And that void has an effect even on people who come too close to it, where it can cause them to forget their Torah. And this is what the Gemara and the Chazal tell us on this chapter. Now, as we said at the beginning, this is known as one of the difficult parshas in the Torah, a parshas Tumah, because with everything that's said on it, it still doesn't tell us too much. What did they want, and what were they doing, and what does all of this mean? Let's see if we can get a little more insight into this. The Maral has an elaborate explanation on this in his Haggadah HaShas in Masechta Sanhedrin, and perhaps we can with that understand a few principles here. In general, there's a principle from the Maral that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, in Pasuk Yud Ches, Bereishis Beis, Vayema Hashem Elokim, He created man, and Hashem said, Leitev hayis adam levadei, it is not good for man to be alone. Asalei eze kenegdo, I will make a helpmate for him. What does it mean, lo tov hayos adam levadei? It is not good for man to be alone. All right, there are many simple explanations. A man needs a helpmate, can't be alone. But there's a Medrash, a Chazal, that states as follows. Bereishis Rabba, Shleyemru Shtei Reshu Yisein. Kodesh Baruch Hu said it's not good for a man to be alone, because then we would say Shtei Reshu Yis. There are two sovereignties in the world. HaKodesh Baruch Hu Be'elyonim, Yochid Ve'ein Leizug, Ve'zeh B'tachteinim Ve'ein Leizug. There's the Almighty in the Elyonim. The Almighty is the sovereign of the upper world. He is alone. And if man was created alone, then man would be the sovereign of the lower world. He is alone. Therefore, Leitov, and that's not good. It's not good for a person to think that there are two sovereignties in the world. There's only one Melech, one king. Therefore, Esalei Ezek Enegde, I will make for him a helpmate that will be together with him. Now, what is the explanation in this? This is something which is very deep and very important. A person, an individual, that does not need someone else, this illustrates that he lacks nothing. That he is totally independent, does not have to rely or depend on anyone else or anything else for his needs. He is totally self-contained. So if there would be some type of individual or some type of force that would not have to come on to anything else or anyone else, this would illustrate a perfect shlemus. This would illustrate a perfect totality, where that individual or that force is lacking nothing. To the contrary, when you have an individual or a force that needs someone else, so this is because he's lacking something, and he has to come on to something or someone else for that, to fill that void, to fill that void and to replenish or to give him what he is lacking. Now, This is what is meant by the word Echod. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Almighty is the only force in the world that needs nothing. He does not have to rely on anyone or anything else. To the contrary, everything relies on Him. Like the Rambam writes, He's the cause for everything in the world. He relies on nothing in the world, but everything in the world relies on Him. If everything in the world would vanish, it would not affect Him. If, theoretically, He would vanish, then everything would vanish with Him. And this is what is meant to say, that He is Echod, He is one. One means that He is totally self-contained, totally independent, totally complete. This is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu ein lezug. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need a partner. Partner is for someone who is not complete. Therefore He needs a partner to draw from what He is lacking, to lean on, to rely on, or to depend on, or to take from that partner. But someone who is betachlis hashlemu, someone who is total and lacks nothing, so then he doesn't need a partner. To the contrary, a partner would only be superfluous to him. This is what it means, echod, and this is what it means, ein leizug. Ein leizug means without a partner. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything in the world with a partner. Because everything in the world is incomplete, has to come onto something else. Man was created alone. And therefore the Almighty said, Leiteve Yisarim Levad. It's not good for a man to be created, to be alone, because people will think Shtei Reshuyos. There are two sovereigns in the world. The Almighty Belyanim, Vehu Betachtenim. Therefore, Ezelei Ezek Kenegdei, I will make a partner for him. And this is the concept of a king. A king is the single power that does not have to come on to anything else. If he's a true king, this is the Almighty. So what we're referring to here is a total independence, an independent creation, or a creation which is dependent on others or on other forces. Now, it comes out then that it's actually very, very good for a person to have everything that he needs. If he's lacking, this is not always good. But from the other aspect, when a person is lacking, there's also a good side to that. Because when he's lacking, he realizes that he is dependent on others. If he's not lacking, then sometimes he can start thinking that he doesn't need anything else, or he doesn't need anyone else. And this is what our Chazal tell us, that ein odem beit umeirit ba'kodesh baruch hu elam mitech sfiyo. We find that when a person needs and he lacks, many times that's the greatest force that brings him close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he realizes, Mo ani, what am I? I can't exist without someone's help, without the Almighty's help. It brings home to him with a great force just how strong the individual is, how weak he is. It brings home with a great force humility, and it brings home with a great force the interdependence, that he is a very, very weak creation, and he's totally dependent on others, and he's totally dependent on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the whole concept of tefillah, where we always mispalel because we are dependent on him. Like an eved, like a servant to a master.
So even though when people do not have, they shouldn't always complain about it, because great things can come from the fact that one doesn't have. It brings them to great heights in HaKadosh Malchus Hashem, in the realization of the strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the realization that they are just a humble servant to him, totally dependent on him. But when a person has everything, he has enough to eat and he has enough to drink, and there's enough rain in the world and there's no war and so forth, so what is the tendency then? The tendency then is HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what do they need me for? Okay. What do they have? What do they need me for? And then a person starts to think that I'm totally independent. I don't need him, and I don't need people, and I don't need they need me, I don't need anyone. That's a very, very dangerous thought when it comes to a person. And that's when the Chazal tell us, Ein Odom Meirid Ba'Kodesh Baruch Hu, Elami takes fear. When does man rebel against the Almighty? That's when he has too much. As long as he's hungry and as long as he needs, he won't forget the Almighty. But once he has too much, he's got too much money in his pocket, it states, V'rom levovcho, right away he becomes arrogant, v'shachachto. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and you forget. As long as you're hungry, you won't forget me. It's like the son. When he needs money, then he remembers his father. But when he has enough, v'shachachto, he has no need for him anymore. See? And this is very dangerous. So ein odom meirid elami takes fear. Man rebels when he has too much. Now, with man though, we go even further. Kodesh Baruch Hu, he created man to be a king. The Almighty said, I am making you king over the lower world. Melech betachton, I am the king over everything, but you will be the king in the lower world. Man by nature wants to be a king. He's actually called Gevar. Gevar means Reitzelis Gabir. Man by nature is an expansionist. He always wants to expand his domain. He wants to expand his boundaries. He wants to expand his malucha, his sovereignty. By nature, he wants to reign. When it comes that man forgets the Almighty because he has so much, then the thoughts that come into his mind is, Ani emleich, I am the king. I will reign. This is what took place with the Dor HaFloga, that this generation, they had everything that they needed. They were saved from the flood. The world was given back to them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought brocha, he brought blessing to the world. They lacked nothing. But then they had another dimension, which as mentioned before, we've never experienced. And that was, they had universal peace. They were Sofe Echot Kulam Achot. They were one, molded into one big nation. And there was they were united, and there was a oneness between them. Now, when nations are divided into separate nations, and each one realizes that he has something, but he doesn't have everything. This nation might have gold, and another nation has silver. This nation, this country could have crops, and the other nation's grain, and the other one will have fruits. And this one will have cattle, and the other ones will have fish. Okay. So every nation realizes they have something, but they don't have everything. And they have to come unto other nations. And with other nations are different units, and they're all divided. So each one has to rely
They have to try to gain favor by other nations and rely with other nations and trade with other nations and so forth. And it's like you have in the marketplace, you have competition. But what happens, and they have to come on to foreign allies and foreign aids, but what happens when the Kulam Am Echad, they're all molded into one nation and there's perfect unity between them? Then it becomes like what you would have in the marketplace, a monopoly. Like you have one giant conglomerate. They have everything. Everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave, a little to this nation and a little to that nation, a little to the third nation, they have everything. If one conglomerate absorbs everything, they control the world. Then what happens? By the tzaddik, this is good. When righteous people are united, this is good. But when it comes to wicked people that are united, then not only do they want to reign over other nations, there are no other nations to reign over. They want to rule the world. They want to rule the entire world. The Tachtenim and the Elyonim, the lower world and the upper world. Ani Emlech, we will reign. And this was Nimrod. We started, we said, Torah brings that Nimrod was the one who gave the Eitzah. He gave counsel to the world. Come and let us rebel against the Almighty. Today, nations are busy fighting each other. They're too busy negotiating with international negotiations or international diplomacies or international wars with each other. What happens when one nation swallows up another? Then the expansionist nature of man is to, let's expand our boundaries further. What happens when they expand their boundaries further? Then we'll go further. This was the design of every tyrant and of every dictator to rule the world. They wanted to gobble up the entire world. What happens when they gobble up the entire world? Then they go for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every great tyrant in the world said, Ani Emlech, I am the king of the world. Nebuchadnezzar challenged the Almighty. He said, told the Almighty, come and fight with me. And historically it happened all of the time. Napoleon challenged the church. He told the church, I am above the church. And history writes that when these great tyrants came to a height of enormous strength, they held they had divine powers. Hitler, Yimach Shemai, held he had divine powers to other such tyrants. But I will rule. This is what happens when the Rishoyim, when the wicked, become too big, when they encompass too much, when they lack nothing. There's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara Masechet Chulin says, on Daf Pei Tes Omer Aleph, HaKadosh Baruch Hu states, actually the Teira Tamima brings this Gemara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yisrael, Lei Meirubchem, this is in the Devarim Zayin, Lei Meirubchem mikol ha'amim choshek Hashem bochem, ki atem amat min ha'amim. I didn't choose you, Hashem said to Israel, and I didn't love you because merubchem, because you're so many in number. The contrary, atem amat, you're the smallest of all of the nations. This is what the pasuk says. From here we learn that quantity is not important; it's quality. When it comes to quantity, Israel is the smallest of the nations. When it comes to quality, it's different. But then the Gemara dashes differently. Le merubchem and me'at doesn't mean number, but it means mightiness. Hashem said, I didn't choose you because you are so mighty. I chose you because ham'at, you make yourself small. Omer lema kodesh baruch hu l'Yisrael, cheskani b'chem sh'afil b'shoa sh'ani mashpia l'chem gedula atem me'atim atzmechem l'fonai. I love you because even when I give you everything and I give you power and I give you strength and greatness, still you humble yourselves before me. You make yourselves only as a servant to me. For example, Nosati Gdula l'Avraham, I gave to Abraham mightiness. Abraham had wealth. He had strength. He had numbers. What did Abraham say? Vanochi ofer ve'efer. He says, I am dust. I am ashes. To Mason Aaron I gave strength and mightiness. They said, Nachnu mo, what are we? To David I gave strength and mightiness. He said, and David was from the most powerful kings in the world. What did he say? Anechi tolas. He says, I am but a worm. He told the Almighty. After he made him from the most powerful kings in the world, David could have made himself into a world monarch. He said, I'm a tolas to the Almighty, I'm only a worm. Bilei ish, and not a man. Eibdikechalvim einon kein. But when it comes to the idolaters, it's not like that. Nosati gdula l'nimrod. I gave power and strength to Nimrod. What did he say? Hova nivna lonu ir. Let us go build a city and a tower. Was given two abilities. We once spoke at length on that all the creatures in the world were created to walk on all fours. Man was the only creature that stood upright. He was given an upright spine. He was given the ability to be a king because all creatures are his servants. Well, he walks upright. So he was given a spine that could stay upright. But also, his spine has another ability, where it could bow. He was also given the ability to bow to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I am the king of the entire world, but I'm making you the king of the earth. You should rule over the earth, but be a servant to me. So he gave him a spine where he could stand upright and rule over the earth, where everyone else bows to him, but at the same time where he could bow to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are the two abilities, capabilities of man. By the tzaddikim, by the righteous, the more he gives him, the more he'll fulfill both of these tasks. He will be a king over the earth, but bow to the Almighty. By the Rishoyim, by the wicked, the more he gives them, the more they will want to stand upright, to rule not only over the entire lower world, but even the upper world also. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that I have chosen you because le mirubchem, not because of your power, but ki mi'at. Atem ha'me'at, you make yourself small. The more I give you, the smaller Abraham made himself, Moshe and Aaron, David. But by the Rishoyim, the wicked, when I give them something, what do they say? Let us go build a city and a tower, and we will go up to the heavens to make war. This is what the Mishnah tells us in Masechta Oves, excuse me, in Masechta Sanhedrin.
it states kinus yofel tzadikim v'yofel eilam. When righteous people come together, that's good. That's good for the world. Kinus l'rashoyim. When wicked people come together, ra le'elam. That's bad for the world. Because they're going to use that alliance. Coming together is strength. But it depends what you use it for. They're going to use that alliance to come against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pizor l'tzadikim ra. When the righteous are scattered, that's bad for the world. L'rishoyim teiv l'aylam. When the wicked are scattered, that's good for the world. Because then they do not have the strength. Now we can understand a little better what the Gemara is telling us. The Gemara says like this. Katrishena, the first group, they said, we'll build. We're a whole world. Could there have ever been a greater nation than us? And we must build a capital city for us, for ourselves, with a great tower. And we will go dwell there. They were interested in shame. They were interested in a name. They said, let's make a name for ourselves. They were interested in glory and prestige and reputation, because every king wants hashivus. He wants glory and prestige and covet for his malchus. So therefore, they wanted to build a big city. The city is the capital, is the covet for the king, and with a great tower, which will be very high. It's like a high throne. See, this will be a symbol of our glory. The second group went a step further. They said, no, that's not enough. Not enough. The first one was also bordering on idolatry, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that I have given you great honor, but your honor is in this world. My honors in the upper world. They wanted to infringe on what was the Almighty's. The second group said, no, we must go further. B'reishi b'shamayim. We must build the tower where the head of the tower will go into the heavens. What did they mean by that? That we should defy and disrupt the heavenly order. We will go into the heavens in order to make ourselves free from the decrees of the Almighty. Like they said, there was a decree that every so many years a flood will come to the world. It's not enough that we should just have that honor, but let's defy his rule, defy his decree, and we will go into the heavens to disrupt those orderly decrees. So they wanted to infringe on him even greater. And the third group said, we will go and serve idolatry. This meant that entirely we will go away from the Almighty. What is idolatry? The essence of the Almighty is that he is echod, he is one. That means he's all encompassing. Which means, less asid eponimine, that there's no place in the entire creation that's free from the sovereignty of the Almighty. According to that premise, that idolatry is impossible. Idolatry is where you serve some other type of force, but every force has to be subservient to the Almighty. If the Almighty is Echod, if the Almighty is one, which means he's all encompassing, then there is nothing in the world that is beyond him and not under his sovereignty. So when they said, let us go serve idolatry, they were saying that we will push aside this oneness of the Almighty. There's other forces in the world which are free of him. And the one that serves idolatry, this is what he wants to do. He wants to free himself from the old Malchus Shemayim. He wants to free himself from the yoke of the Almighty and go away from him. And because of this, he creates other forces for himself. Kodesh Baruch Hu is referred to as a Keach Kloli, all encompassing,
Avodah Zarah is a keach proti, an individual force. This is what they wanted to do. And that's what they said, shame. Now, to the group that wanted to gain prestige and honor, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He took them and hefitzem al pnei kol ha'aretz. He scattered them all over the world. It was the end of the prestige. The prestige was to show their mightiness. What is a king? Berev am hadres melech. A king, why does he want such a great number of people? Because that's honor for him. That's a show of strength. They wanted a show of honor and strength. So it states, hefitzem al pnei kol ha'aretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them and scattered them all over the world. No, that was the end of their prestige. To the group that said, let us go and we'll put the tower into the heavens, we will fight against the Almighty, HaKadosh Baruch Hu transformed them into all of those strange beings, into the apes and into the shading, the devils and so forth. Why did he do this? Because the one who wants to make war with someone, he's the Oyev, he's known as the Oyev, the enemy. That's the opposite of the Ohev, of the beloved. The antithesis of the endeared one is the Ohev, the enemy who wants to make war. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give man his unique form and his unique character? So it states, because of endearment. The Mishnah Novah states, why was man created B'Tzelem Elokim, in the same image of the Almighty? In other words, the Almighty shared with him some perspective of his own image, B'Tzalmeinu Kidmuseinu, Chi B'Yeseira Nosnu Lodem. Because of his great endearment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had such a love for man that he shared, it's like a king who has a beloved servant, he'll share his own garment with him. That's a level of closeness. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. But now that the man was turned into an Oyev, he became an enemy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wanted to war against him, so he took away that garment and he made them into all of these strange forms and creatures. And to those that went and wanted to serve idolatry, so there it states that Bolal Hashem Sfas Kol Oretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took their language and totally confused it. Because we said those that were going for idolatry, they were diametrically opposed to the oneness of the Almighty. The oneness of the Almighty illustrates that He is all-encompassing and there can be no other force in the world that is not under His sovereignty, that is not subservient to Him. When someone serves idolatry, what he is doing, he's rebelling against that oneness. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore took away their oneness. Because they rebelled against His oneness, He removed from them their oneness. And how did He split them? The best way to split them was to divide them by languages. And therefore one was a different language, a whole different, and from there came a different culture. From there we have that the nations cannot become one nation. This is why we have so much racial problems in the world today. Because we see that the Chinese, they live very nicely in China. And other nations live very nicely in their land. But when you try to put them all together, they don't become one nation. Because there are different languages and different cultures. And this is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu divided them. He totally removed their capability of oneness because they rebelled against His oneness. Now, this is also the explanation in the Gemara, that the Gemara says, what happened to the tower? So it says one third of the tower remained. That was
that is it correlates with the group that only wanted to go and sit there for honor and glory, because their sin was the smallest. So therefore, one third of the tower remained. A second third went into the ground. That was correlates with the group that came to make war, because we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how does he take revenge against those enemies who make war against him? They go into the ground. This is what we find by Kerach Nadose. Kerach came to challenge the authority of Mesha the Almighty, to make war. And the third group that wanted to serve idolatry and go out of the sovereignty of Hashem, so that was represented in the third part of the tower that was burnt, Shlish Nisraf, because it states on Avedizora, the mitzvah is to burn it. We see HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes revenge, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fire, and he takes revenge against idolatry by burning it. So this gives us now a far greater insight into what was taking place. And what we can learn from here is two things. You can learn many things, but two important principles. One is man by nature was given the ability to be a king. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, "You reign in the lower worlds, I'll reign all in the upper worlds." Therefore, this is why we find so much war in the world. Because ain't shtei malachim mishtamshim b'keser echad. You can't have two kings using the same crown. Everybody wants to be king, and every man is a king and an expansionist. Everybody wants to be king, and everyone wants to be marhib, he wants to broaden his boundaries. This is from the smallest level to the greatest level. You even see take two children, two boys, and put them in the same room, two baby boys, and they fight. They start fighting over what's mine and what's yours. And I want what's yours, and you want what's mine. This is the nature that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave man. But a second nature he gave him was that to be able to be a faithful servant to the Melech Malchei HaMelochim, to the King of all kings. Therefore he gave him the ability to stand straight and upright, and the ability to bow. Now as long as man remembers that, then he's alright. Then the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him, the more he will rule this world properly in the way of serving the Almighty, who's the king over all of the world. This is the tzaddikim. This is what we find by Avraham. The more he gave Avraham, the more faithful servant he became, and the more Avraham was able to do for the world. And the same thing by Yitzchok and Yaakov, and by Meshach and Aaron, and by Dovid HaMelech. Dovid HaMelech was the all-powerful, the warrior. But when it comes to the Rosh, now the Rosh doesn't understand this, and everything that he gets, he uses it only to stand further upright. He uses it only to reign further and to rule further and to conquer further, constantly broaden his conquests to the point where eventually he wants to conquer the Almighty also. And this comes in particular, it comes Vitechasphere. What he has, as long as he doesn't have. So he's forced to be humble. He's forced to come unto the Almighty. He's forced to come unto other nations. But when he starts getting too much and too much power, so then you get the expansionist. And we saw it in the ultimate at that generation, which was the only generation that where you had man was able to rule over the entire world with a unity, with a unanimity. And from there they went to fight HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this concept to fight the Almighty is also a nature in man. But he wants to free himself from the Almighty. You should know that all of the liberal movements, liberal means to liberate. Depends what you want to liberate yourself from. You want to liberate yourself from injustices. You want to liberate yourself from tyrants. You want to liberate yourself from slaveries. That's one thing. But then there are those who want to liberate themselves from the Malchus Shamayim, from the sovereignty of the Almighty. The source of that liberation, that's Avedis Ora, that's idolatry. What was the motive of the idolatries? The Maral says, to liberate themselves from the sovereignty of Hashem. This was the motive of the idolatries. To liberate themselves from the laws of the Almighty, from the gezeiros, from the decrees of the Almighty. And that was Reishis Hashamayim. We will not accept His laws. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had no other alternative than to break them. He says, this is what has caused it, that I gave them so much, and even a world unity and a world peace. So therefore I must now forever make the nations from them one different than the other, that will never come together. But they'll never be able to be molded into one giant conglomerate, a monopoly of the world. This is the situation today. These are some of the principles that we can learn from this episode in the Torah of the Dor HaFlogo, the generation that was divided in split.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.